Hello everyone, you're seeing a blank screen. Welcome to the Round 15 Roundup stream. What a beautiful start. You guys can't see anything, it's just a blank screen. Let's fix that up. There we go. Now I think you guys can see that. Hopefully you all can hear me okay. was a little bit late in putting the stream together, I had to do it very quickly, but hopefully you all can hear me just fine, and now you can see the actual Supercoach website. How are you all doing? How did you all enjoy your long weekend? It was good to have an extra day off, always great. Always is a bit of an annoying thing work-wise, though. It all of a sudden means trying to fit in 5 days of work in 4 days, but we'll deal with that tomorrow when we get back to work. We're talking about Supercoach today. Hopefully you all had a good long weekend. Obviously a lot went down with Supercoach this week. It was absolute carnage heading into the week. You know, lots of players got injured this week and lots of outs, and then there were some in-game injuries as well, so I think it's a pretty big spread in terms of points scored by people. And look, I did an average of Podmasters, the two Podmasters leagues that I'm in, 1273 and 1269 were the two averages, so I'm thinking around 1250 plus is probably there or thereabouts. I think if you've gotten 1300 plus, you've probably had a good week. I'm pretty happy with how I went this week. 1340 is what I ended up on, so I'll definitely take that. It looks like it's above par. Hopefully should be getting some green arrows. I did leave some points on the table in terms of my reserves, but nothing that absolutely killed me. Shout out to Rexter, I can see you in the chat. Benching Ruben Garrick. Now that, if I had benched Ruben Garrick, the delete app button would be getting serious consideration. So condolences to anyone who did bench Ruben Garrick. I mean, I don't want to sound hindsight, like I wouldn't have done it. Even because the thing was, it was a good matchup and the points were still there as a goal kicker. I wouldn't have done it, but like, I can see some people, you know, if there was a real tough 50-50, I can see why they would have done it. But yeah, that is just really punishing. That's just what happens there. And, you know, it just happens sometimes. And 169 points. So like, if you're seeing that on your bench, that you'd be absolutely spewing with that. Absolutely spewing. A lot of people with captain Nico Hines, obviously he went very low this week, very surprising. The Sharks just can't seem to do anything against top 8 squads. I still thought even if they scored like 12 points he would get involved like it was last week, but just the 30 points for him, you know, based on performances from this weekend. It's Mitch Moses or Reynolds probably as the number 7 for the Blues, which I knew coming into this week was an obvious risk buying Moses, but the thought was that, look, if Moses has a masterclass and, you know, he gets the number 7 selection, look, I'll take the points that came along with it. He got 98 points pre-update, so I'll take that. Hopefully he updates just to maybe 105, 110. Most of those points coming in the first half. Obviously very happy as well as a Clint Gutherson owner. They tore it up in the first half for the Eels, and 134 points for Gutho. Really happy with that because, you know, I've had him for a few weeks now, and he's had a couple of decent scores, but finally got a big ton out of him. Dream Buller just continues to be an absolute hero. It feels an age ago that on Thursday he did that fend, but honestly, on Thursday night, I probably watched that fend on Tino about 15 times. One of the best things I've ever seen. I know I'm probably wax lyrical about it, but honestly, that was an amazing thing, especially because Tino's a big boy, big boy. Dream just swatted him away like a fly. What a man. So he's going to continue to make a lot of money. I mean, elsewhere on my team, I mean Jacob Preston, shout out to him. He had a fantastic game in a losing side. Played the full 80 minutes. I'm on NRL.com, so obviously they do tackle a little bit differently to Supercoach, but they've got him down for, let me see here, a lot of tackles, put it that way. 31 tackles, but a lot of runs, and I think he made like 170 plus meters. So Preston had a really good outing in a losing effort. Jake, that fend was delicious. Honestly, that fend from Buller was really good. Obvious concerns out with the Tigers though, injuries to Appy and Luke Brooks, so who knows how good they're going to be after being a little bit better in the last kind of 2 months. You know, could see a drop off in them, so maybe a team to start targeting. Yeah, Nico was very highly captained, like 28%, and even like 37%, I think, in the top 5 or top 1%. So, and look, I don't blame people captaining Nico Hines. I even told people this week, like, if you hadn't Hines and Cleary and you were not sure about buying Moses this week because of the whole risk of him playing Origin, I thought it was perfectly, you know, reasonable to not go him and just captain Hines instead, because I thought Hines, even on an off day, he still gets like 60, 70. Just the 30 points from him, though, was a little bit not concerning. Still a gun, but yeah, obviously not what you would have hoped for. Steezers are saying, I got a 1093, man. Do I just delete the app? Nah, dust yourself off and, you know, keep going on. You know, a few weeks ago, I had that really bad week, and I think I dropped like 7,000, 8,000 spots. But, you know, these weeks can come where you have, you just got to keep kind of chipping away and hope that these, you keep making good decisions at that, and that the, you know, the points will continue to come if you just keep making good decisions and stuff. A lot of it is out of our hands, like these injuries to like Jeremy Marshall-King, Eli Katoa, for example, like we just can't really do anything about that. And pretty unfortunate. Sione Katoa had a pretty low game too. So there's a lot of low scores, a lot of really big scores. So I think the spread of points will be quite big. And you just have to hope that in future weeks you get to be on the upswing on these type of weeks. But yeah, otherwise in the team. So in terms of trades, you can see Britton Nicara is in the team. No more Zach Hosking. Now that was a late decision because Zach Hosking was a late out. And my depth on my second row forward, as you can see, was Matt Dury. And he was coming off the bench for the Eels. And I thought, I don't like playing Matt Dury. And I didn't have the duels to make any other switches because all my other players had locked out. So I had to just, I had that boost up my sleeve and I just decided to get rid of Hosking. Not ideal, but I had the money to go Nicara. And I thought, look, Nicara is someone I probably might want to get in next week. So I just went him. He ended up on 55, including a sin bin. In a losing side, I'll take that. You know, that's probably sitting about 65 without the sin bin in a pretty well-beaten side. I'll take that. I also got Bateman, who was good. Played pretty much 70 minutes in the middle, 10 minutes on the edge. So, look, I was happy with Bateman's score in the end, 68 points with no attacking stats. Tohu Harris got the try assist, which is good. Joe Tarpany was a little bit disappointing. I mean, his counterpart, Josh Papali'i, killed it instead. And Corey Horsburgh did very well too, scoring 70 points. Obviously, the Warriors took that game very comfortably in the end, in the second half. Don't know if it was just them playing extraordinarily well or the Raiders hitting the wall after the emotional build-up of, you know, Croker's 300th. But, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Tarpany, 62 minutes, only scoring 47 is a little bit concerning. Ended up playing Harrison Edwards. It was either Reid Miney, Christian Welch, or Harrison Edwards. The reason I went Edwards was because I thought, look, he'll play, like, hopefully 55, 60 minutes, especially if he was starting, which he did, and he did play 60 minutes, but PPM just fell off a cliff. Christian Welch had actually a crazy first half, so he ended up on 58. And Reid Miney, I was just like, oh, I don't know, he's not been delivering that much recently. So I decided to go Edwards, and look, at the end of the day, it cost me 20 points. So I'm kind of like, it's okay, it's fine. It's only 20 points. I didn't get massively stung by going Edwards. All my other reserves worked out because Manu and Taruva went well, and obviously Gutherson killed it today. So I played Schuster as well. He a bit disappointed that he didn't really get amongst the points in that thrashing. But yeah, look, 1340 is the score for this week. We'll see what updates come through. Hopefully you get over 1350 with updates for the Eels game. But yeah, no, we'll take that this week. It seems about above par. Gazaraki, in terms of what is par, I don't know if I've pinned the message. I'll pin the message, but I'm going to say, I think par is about the 1250 plus, maybe even like the 1275. That was the average that I saw in both Podmasters leagues was 1270. So I think that's probably about your par score. So I'll just quickly put that in the chat just for anyone else who has to come in a little bit later in the stream. So I'll say about 1270 to 1300 is about a par score this week, in my opinion. And yep, 1340 for me. So I'll take that. What will you do? Hopefully I can get the $1,000 with 1547. Unfortunately, I've seen a 1600 plus in a screenshot. I've also heard of a 1740. I think there will be some huge scores this week. I mean, 1500 is a huge score. What will you do? So congrats with the 1547. That's an amazing score this week. But there were some big, big scores. I mean, if we look in that first match, you had Buller, you had Tino Fasulama-Awi do well. Next game, you had Sean Johnson do well, easily could have owned Corey Horsburgh and a Nickel Klukstad. Both went very well. Dolphins, Sea Eagles, you know, if you vice captain Ruben Garrick, you know, shout out to the Whisperer. He VC'd Garrick and he obviously killed it. So 169 points. Anyone who VC'd or seed him straight up is going bonkers this week. If anyone held on to Turbo, you know, obviously a bit annoying if you sold him because I thought he was going to be all but ruled out for this game and also next week, but 126 points from Turbo. You know, someone easily could have had an Asako. You know, Campbell Graham and Damien Cook are fairly highly owned. They did quite well. Broncos, you know, Reese Walsh, you know, maybe not Dom Young, but like a Payne Haas, for example, is pretty highly owned. There were a lot of big scores from some of the highly owned players. Maybe not so much from the Panthers-Eels game, Panthers-Roosters game, I should say. But like, you know, Grant owners, Munster owners, if anyone took the punt on Jerome Hughes, I was a bit surprised to see that from Jerome Hughes. I mean, he looked a lot better today. Oh, not today, sorry, on Sunday. Storm had a really big bounce back after that pretty disappointing game against the Cowboys. Sharks, very, very disappointing though. that this hoodoo just seems to linger about this top eight record. It's there was a stat floating around on Twitter which I can't seem to get in front of me, but like their record over the last few seasons against top eight teams is atrocious, pretty much. So definitely the definition of a flat track bully, which, to be fair to the Sharks, they don't have that many more difficult games coming up, but probably is, you know, a case of, yeah, when they're versus the better teams, you know, maybe you feel comfortable tipping against them, say, for example, in a tipping competition. And obviously Bulldogs, Eels, you know, Moses was pretty popular purchase this week. A lot of people would have captained him. Gutherson is not that, I'd say Gutherson's not, he's not a pod by any means. He's probably about 10, he's 9% owned. So he's probably, well, actually, I'm happy seeing that 9% ownership for Gutherson, because hopefully that means he was a bit of a pod for me. But yeah, look, there will be some big scores for sure this week. In terms of the rundown, look, to be honest, in terms of the timeline for this week, TLT will come out tomorrow. We'll also have the New South Wales squad released tomorrow. The Queensland team has already been released. No major surprises, to be honest. I mean, Nanai is straight back in at second row forward, which is a bit surprising. I thought they maybe went Kafusi, but obviously Billy's got trust in Nanai. On the bench, I think there was maybe one change because of Jai Arrow's injury, but I don't think it was a major one, not for Supercoach anyway. Pong has already ruled himself out. So the Queensland team was pretty settled. New South Wales, obviously the big talking point coming into this week was who's going to be the halfback. Look, I thought coming into this week, irrespective of performance, I thought it'd still be Nico because of him being in the game one squad, plus also his Dally M from last year and everything like that. But it just seems as though like the noises are there that it'll be Mitchell Moses. And he obviously probably did the best case he could have today with a really great performance. And Adam Reynolds obviously had a great game as well against the Knights. That try that he scored in the end was pretty incredible as well. So I think Mitchell Moses, look, I'm mentally prepared for him to not be available for round 16. And obviously now that's the big talking point coming into round 16. It's the second big bye week. We're probably not going to be as stressed to think about it compared to, say, round 13. Round 13 felt a bit more difficult. I think round 16, a lot of us are probably looking okay. So I think we should be hopefully well set up already for round 16. But yeah, I'm fully preparing to not have Mitchell Moses. And look, if you're a Hines owner, you could maybe benefit because they've got the Bulldogs next week. And if Hines is out of the squad altogether and he's available round 16, I think us Hines non-owners will be probably scrambling to get him, because the way that people will see it is that if he's ruled out of game two, probably going to be out of game three. Even if New South Wales lose, what's the point of them really changing the halfback? They'll probably just keep Moses, for example, if he's named tomorrow in game three. And the Sharks play round 19 as well. So all of a sudden you're looking at Hines potentially missing every game except for round 18 in the next 4 weeks, to playing every game except for 17, for example. And yeah, except for round 17. So yeah, look, I think Nico Hines will be a very popular purchase next week, this coming week, even despite the high break even that he will have. I do have a plan to get him next week. So I kept Fifita this week. I could still hold Fifita, but if Hines is named and he's available, I'll find it very difficult to not go him, to be honest. And I'll probably do, I can do in one move. I can do Fifita out for Hines. I can go Fifita out for Schuster, and then I can bring Katoa down to my 5-8 spot, and then I can go Fifita to Hines straight away in one move. So I feel okay if Hines is named, or if he's not named, I think I've got a decent way to get to him. I could even do Moses to Hines, to be honest, but I might want to keep Moses anyway for round 17 coverage, given that round 17 will be a pretty difficult week to cover. Anyway, that's a bit of a random spiel about some of how I went this week, and a bit more of the macro. I will dig into some of the games individually, probably not maybe as detailed as maybe sometimes I am, given that, look, to be honest, I'll probably be streaming again tomorrow after TLT, because I won't be able to do Wednesday, so I'll probably have to do the stream tomorrow. So I'll be streaming again tomorrow, so we'll get a lot of updated information with team lists plus the Origin team for New South Wales. So I'm happy to keep the stream a bit more laid back, maybe answer more questions, and just go through the games as kind of maybe questions come up. So I think we'll take a little bit more of a relaxed approach as we wind down the long weekend. I will say it's fittingly named the King's Birthday because, yeah, Clint Gutherson had a day out like it was his birthday. Although, is it actually his birthday? That would be crazy if it was his birthday. His birthday is 9th of September, so not quite. Oh my God, Gutherson is only like 2 months older than me. Yikes. That makes me feel weird. That makes me feel old. Anyway, let's move past that pretty quickly. Boonglicious, love the passcore report. Love your work, man. Thank you so much. Saw a 16.55 in one of your leagues, but he has about three players out for next week. Yeah, look, as I said before, as we were just going through some of those bigger scores, there will be some huge scores this week. I mean, the weekly winner, I imagine, could be getting close to 1750, 1800. And yes, obviously that means they might hinder them next week, but it was kind of the approach I was taking this week. Just try to take the points on offer with Moses against a good matchup and deal with it next week. I think maybe in the past I would have been a little bit more conservative and probably gone down the no waited out and then probably would have lost out on, like, you know, potentially 100 points and maybe wouldn't have gained so much from the extra information. And I think the reason I was able to do that this week was because I think I had that flexibility of still having Fifita in the squad so that I'd be able to switch to like a Nico Hines or to a 5-8 or whoever was available. This week I was kind of happy to make the moves. Now, I don't have any more boosts left. That's probably the only downside. Hosking being out was a little bit annoying in that sense, but I boosted to get Nikora. I don't have to worry about him for next week now. So even if I sell Fifita, my second row forward is looking a little bit better in that, you know, before it was like, I mean, Hosking hasn't been doing that well, obviously, but Preston, Nikora, and Bateman are pretty solid three second row forwards. I will be, the downside of that boost to Nikora was round 17 is going to be a bit more difficult for me because especially if I, let's say hypothetically I do buy Nico Hines this coming week, I'll have, so remember that's the Tigers, Bulldogs and the Sharks on the bye in round 17. I'll have Marnie out, Edwards out, Nikora out, Preston out and Bateman out. So that's already five players out. Plus if I buy Hines, that's six. That's six players out straight away and Buller, seven. I'd have seven players out for round 17. So round 17 could be a difficult week for me, could be even harder than round 14. So I'll have to do some thinking about, even like, so to be honest, looking at it that way, I hope Hines is playing Origin and that he's available, and that Moses is available for me for round 16, 17. Because yeah, look, round 17 could be difficult for me to cover. So I think I'll deal with it in round 17, but like the thing is, I'm not going to be selling. I mean, Buller is a real interesting one. I'll be keen to see what happens this week with the Tigers without Coruscant and without Luke Brooks, because Buller has been killing it while the Tigers have been really good. Now, granted, like he scored one line break try and scored 95 points. Like he pretty much scored 50, 60-ish in base anyway. So we know he's got the really high work rate and the good floor, and he might still be okay, even if the Tigers don't score many points. Maybe I look to move him on in round 17, potentially. Otherwise, instead, someone like a Harrison Edwards, look, he can probably move on for someone in round 17 for some extra cover. Christian Welch, I thought might be available for me round 16, but I think he's gotten himself suspended, which is not ideal. I think he's out for like 1 to 2 games, so that is a bit of a blow for my round 16 coverage and potentially round 17 as well if he is out for 2 weeks. I'll have to double check that. Yeah, it says he's going to miss a week. So he'll miss round 16. But if he's available round 17, that obviously helps a lot. But yeah, as it stands, if I do bring in Hines, that's seven players out for round 17. Yeah, could be difficult for me to cover that week. But we'll deal with that as it comes. Shades of the 2021 season this week. Yeah, look, that 2021 season, I kind of tried to block from memory because I was very slow on the uptake that season and very late on getting Turbo. And he basically killed me for like 6-7 weeks straight when he was just going 100 plus and I just didn't have him. And yeah, that season was a bit difficult because that one decision of getting Turbo probably would have meant like top 1000. Instead, I think I finished the season at like 4500, and it was very frustrating. But yeah, a lot of points scored this week. Obviously Manly scoring 58 helps for sure. Surely Hosking plays next week. Yeah, look, I think the word was that he was getting a rest, and I think it was because expecting him to play big minutes probably over the next 2 weeks. Round 16 is obviously an Origin week, so they'll be without Liam Martin and Isaiah Yeo, and then round 17 is backing up from Origin. So I think Hosking will be asked to play bigger minutes the next 2 weeks. So I think if you've held him, then it's fine. I just couldn't cope having to play Dury. I would have lost out on 40 points, which wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world, but look, we still get three trades next week anyway, so I figured just pull the trigger and just use that boost, and yeah, hopefully we'll be able to navigate bringing back some guns without the boost. 18 trades left, about 100k in the bank, so we'll see. It's going to be a bit dicey. I think from this point on, the trades are going to have to be very well thought out just to be able to make sure I get in some of the guns back, because, you know, if I look quickly at the Storm game, a couple of guns there that I don't have, Munster, Harry Grant, probably going to want at least one of them, if not both of them, especially with Dealbags out indefinitely. I think Munster, Cody Walker is probably the 5-8 combo that you want. And, you know, they both absolutely killed it. So I'm going to have to be very conscious of trying to get in guys like this back. Buller predicted next break even of 12. Yeah, look, Buller will still make money next week. And that's the thing. Maybe round 17, he peaks in price. And I can maybe look, to be honest, I can actually go in round 17, I think via some of my duels. I think I can go to like Harrison Edwards, maybe can go out for like a second row forward or something. So we'll have to see how we go. But to be honest, with Buller, I'd probably want to see him do poorly. So that's why I think round 16 hopefully will be quite insightful, because a player like that, he's not really given any reason to sell him, to be honest, but it would really come down to your coverage in round 17. But ideally, if let's say we see them playing really poorly and he scores low and it looks like he's peaked in price, then yeah, maybe at that point you can look to move him on. But he's shown us no reason to sell him, I guess, at this point. Did Eli Katoa get a HIA or an injury? I think it was like a pretty nasty like head laceration, so I don't think it was classified as a HIA, but he wasn't able to play on. So obviously that was a bit of a blow for people who bought him, you know, last week or this week, for example. So I think in the end he didn't really play that many minutes. I'm just having a quick look at the minutes for the Storm. He only played the 10 minutes. This game I wasn't able to watch live. I just had to watch the replay. This game I did watch live, but I wasn't able to kind of fully watch it in detail and very, very closely. But yeah, it was pretty early injury for him. That's the thing. Yeah, as Mitchell says, Buller plays round 19, so you'll want him for that week as well. And after round 17, the West Tigers don't have a bye for the rest of the season. So again, he could be just someone that you just continue to hold. So it won't be easy at all. I mentioned Buller selling him, but that's very just kind of down the track potentially in a couple of weeks. What's a good amount of trades to be on roughly? I felt happy with 21 coming into this week. I think if you're on about 18 to 20, I think you're fine. I think if you're like in that 16 or less, yeah, I'd be a little bit more nervous. But look, I say this every season about saving trades and having trades for the run home. Now, this season is a little bit different with buyers, but I've always found that people who've traded hard earlier in the season and then kind of just been able to get lucky and avoid injuries, or just have like maybe one trade a week for like say the last 3-4 weeks, let's say they've got like two trades for the last like 4 or 5 weeks, sometimes they still do okay because they've traded hard in to make their team really well set up with depth so that they don't actually have to trade every week. So I think it kind of is dependent on the makeup of your squad. I'm more nervous because I've already sold Cleary, I've sold Hines. If Hines is available, look, I might get him back, but I'll be selling Fifita to do it. I definitely want to get Fifita back as well. I've sold Harry Grant. If Harry Grant continues to play like that, like he did this week, where, you know, scores a double and gets a try assist, line break assist, I'll probably want Grant back. So a lot of trades to bring back in people. So it's going to be a little bit touch and go, I think. Walsh out for Ponga. Yeah, so I mean, I'm not going to speak, I think, much more about the Storm Sharks game, to be honest. I think Grant Munster probably just reaffirmed that, look, these guys are guns for a reason. And if you've got them in your team, obviously you're very happy. And I think you'll just continue to hold now through the whole Origin period, especially now they've probably stopped any major price losses, given that they've got this big score. Mulitalos, he got that pretty junk try, but obviously you'll happily take that. I've always said he's been the Sharks back that I prefer the most. And he's outscored again a lot of those other backs. So I still think he's the one to target from the Sharks outside backs. Nikora, I think, still looks fine because 55 points with a sin bin when he got no major attacking stats. It's pretty solid from him as well. Hines, obviously a bit of a down game. Strangely enough, Nick Meaney only 63 in a game where, you know, they've scored 54 points. But look, at the end of the day, 63 points is nothing to, you know, shy away at. You'll be happy with that. Dylan Brown to Munster. I mean, look, obviously you wouldn't do it in round 16, given that Munster is not playing. But yeah, look, I think Munster and Cody Walker are the two best 5-8s to have, probably for the rest of the season. And if the Knights were really good as well, so there's been a couple of questions about Kalen Ponga. I'm much more confident now on Ponga. He's looking good. The risk is still there, obviously, with the HIAs and everything, but he's playing very well. To score how he did, you know, 92 points against a pretty tough opposition in the Broncos. And overall, the Knights, actually, I thought were really pretty impressive. My boy Marzu, only 49 points, but he did just miss out on a try given his elbow was on the sideline. But Ponga is playing very well, so I think Ponga is definitely an option. I'm just going to quickly refer to Jay Schubert on Twitter, who I strongly recommend you guys follow as well. He posts like indicative break evens coming into the week, so you kind of have a rough idea of how players' prices may change. So I'm just having a quick look at Ponga. So Ponga at the moment is, how much is it? It's not very expensive. He's only 570k, so it's still very, very affordable. And he's going to have a break even of about 24, and he's going to go up about 29k. So he's pretty much going to be about 600k flat with a break even of 24. Now, the draw for the Knights isn't fantastic, but they're playing the Roosters, who we've seen the Roosters are not looking great at all. And it is a home game for the Knights, who'll be pretty not origin affected. So I think that matchup is perfectly fine. Tigers in round 17 is obviously, not Tigers, sorry, Penrith in round 17 is obviously very tough. Their defense is just insane. I mean, I'll be keen to see what the numbers look like in terms of their points per game conceded this season, but I wonder if it's the best that they've had in the last 3-4 years. The defense is crazy, but so that's obviously a tough game. But then look, round 18 is a great game against the Bulldogs. Round 20 could be really good against the West Tigers. And the run home, to be honest, that's not looking too bad for the Knights either. No buys after round 20, which is good. Melbourne's tough, but like, I mean, games against Canberra, Dolphins are looking leaky, Bulldogs again, Sharks, Dragons. I mean, there are games there that we know that they can score points. So Ponga, I think, is definitely a viable trade and option. Like, if you can't stretch all the way to Munster and you want to get someone in maybe for round 16 cover, I think Ponga is definitely getting up there maybe as one of the better options and looking better and better for sure. Walsh out for Ponga. Now, Walsh is a tricky one because obviously he misses round 16, but I would find it difficult to sell Walsh. I mean, the way that the Broncos are playing, they're still continuing to be very good. They're not dropping off like they did kind of the second half of last season. Just having a quick look again at the coming up draw for Walsh. So he obviously missed round 16. I just want to have a quick look as well at what the turnaround time is as well for the Broncos from their origin. I'm just having a quick look. I've got too many spreadsheets on my Google Sheets tab. So for game two, the Broncos play on... Okay, so they play the Titans in round 17, and they've got a three-day turnaround. So you'd be confident, I think, that he plays that game. So I think Walsh, like, game against the Titans, three-day turnaround, I think that's a fair chance of him playing, and it's a good matchup for points. Dolphins is looking great as well. Definitely very leaky. Bulldogs is great in round 20. I mean, the run home is a little bit tougher with Rabbitohs, maybe the Roosters. So that run there is a little bit tougher, but 17, 18, and 20 look really good. I would find it difficult, I think, to sell Reece Walsh. And even after game three, so game three, it's a two-day turnaround, so maybe he misses that one. But yeah, I don't know. Reece Walsh out doesn't feel great. I mean, look, if you're trying to get numbers for round 16, then sure. But I mean, the games that he's back, I think that looks really juicy for Reece Walsh, and I think the Broncos are looking still very, very good. Which means, and sorry, that's another player who I don't own that I might need to try get is bloody Payne Haas. Man is just unbelievable. Just keeps carrying on. It's crazy. Manu to Cody, Schuster to Ponga. I mean, look, I know the Roosters' attack is looking awful. And I don't think the draw for the Roosters is that great moving forward. I'm just gonna have a quick look at it. Let's just quickly touch on the. Let's just look at the Roosters here. I mean, I wouldn't be selling Marno next week because look, Newcastle still is a decent game, and he will probably be playing either 5-8 or fullback. If he's playing at fullback, especially, I'd want to keep him. It's not a great run. I mean, you've got Raiders at home, Manly, but that's an away game. Then it's a bye. Then it's Melbourne. I mean, Titans. I mean, it's not a fantastic run. So I think Manu for sure is someone. Manu, like Billy Smith. I hope Billy Smith is available next week. Otherwise, that's another hit for our round 16 numbers. So Manu, I wouldn't be selling Manu this week. Coming into round 16, I think he's an active player. I think he'll be playing out of position. I think he can still do well. But for sure, after that, I think there's definitely a case that you can look to move on Manu. He's probably not going to be in your top. Like, he's definitely not a top 258. So I don't think he's going to be worth a spot there. he's probably still maybe an option, maybe as a top seven center wing, like someone that you have as like a fifth or sixth. But top four center wing, probably not. Your top four center wing are probably going to still be like a Sharks back, maybe like a Mulatalo, a Sarko, a Ruben Garrick. And then you've got maybe others in there, like, you've got plenty of other options that you could throw in there, like maybe an Alex Johnston, maybe a Nick Meaney, for example. So I think Manu is probably not going to be a top four center wing. So yes, I think you can look to move him on, but I wouldn't be doing it round 16. I feel like that's potentially a trade you may regret, because I think he could do well that week. But yes, the Roosters with their attack at the moment, very irrelevant from a Supercoach standpoint. I mean, Jake Turpin is still doing very well, 57 again this week. So anyone who's moved on to him from, say, Sonny Luke, who was again a bit of an auto emergency nightmare this week, I think you'll be very happy with Turpin and 57 points. So I think over the next couple of weeks until Brandon Smith is back, I think he'll be a solid option. I mean, Teddy did well scoring a try. Kiri was goal-kicking, but like, I mean, they're not options that I'd be looking to invest in at this stage. And just not that relevant, to be honest. As Camo says, the Chooks are not very Supercoach relevant at this point. We've got them for round 16. They don't play round 19, so I think they're someone that you can look to move off after round 16. They do play round 17, so again, given that that's a difficult week to cover, you'd probably be holding them again, and then probably round 18 onwards, then yeah, you'd probably look to sell at that point. So yeah, Roosters not looking very well. I'm sure the majority of fans are out there very happy about the Roosters underperforming. And look, I can see why. As a fan, it's very frustrating. Went to the game as well, which was nice. But obviously, our team got smashed. And I did think that the Panthers looked. I mean, the Panthers just looked good. Liam Martin again was fantastic. Jerome Luai I thought was actually really solid too. Isaiah was very good. I thought Brian To'o and Crichton were really good on their edge too. Like, I mean, just good across the park, to be honest. I mean, the scores kind of reflect that. They had, what did they have? They got three. They have 11 guys go above 60, whereas the Roosters had three. So, yeah, pretty good across the ball performance from the Roosters, from the Panthers. And, yeah, they're just looking again still like the team to beat. Thank you, Mitchell. Give the man a like and show some support. Yep, appreciate that. Please do hit the like button if you are enjoying the stream. Camo says, so there's a couple of questions about who do you bring in for Dylan Brown, Turbo. Who do you reckon to bring in for Dylan Brown? I mean, look, for this week, if you want the round 16 cover, Cody Walker is not available. Munster is not available. So if you're looking for a direct 5-8, it probably has to be Ponga or maybe AJ Brimson. So I did, if you guys haven't seen last Wednesday, I released my first edition of my newsletter, which is just a general kind of similar style to what I do in the streams anyway, but just in written format, just because I wanted to try something a little bit different. Very, very briefly in that newsletter last week, I did mention if you're looking for 5-8s, I'll read out directly what I said. So I said if you're looking for 5-8, Cody Walker, obviously this is before we found out that Cody Walker was out, but I had Cody Walker, Kalen Ponga, or a Smokey in AJ Brimson, who has averaged 62 in 80-minute games this season. So, look, he's got a pretty short sample size, small sample size. Like, he's had some hamstring injuries, so I can see why people maybe were hesitant if they were thinking about him but didn't go him because of the potential re-injury risk. But he's shown this season that when he gets games, he's a good option, and he had a really good game this week as well. I think he scored, like, 94 points. Very, very involved for them. So the Titans, potentially, if you are looking for a 5-8 and you maybe don't want to go Ponga, same deal. You can go Brimson. He's a lot cheaper as well. You know, he'll go up to maybe like 520, 530K. So it'll be a very cheap option that frees up like 300K. And look, Broncos is tough, but then you've got some decent matchups. Like Raiders, I think, is okay for points. Dolphins is looking good for points. Parramatta on their day can concede points as well. I think the best thing with the Titans is that after rounds, so they don't play round 16, sorry, I just realized. So the Titans don't play round 16. So that probably rules him out as a direct replacement this week. But the good thing with the Titans is that after round 17, they've got a clear run home for the rest of the season. I think they are the first team to have no more buys left for the rest of the season. So round 17, it's a free run all the way through. So maybe Brimson is someone you consider round 17. If you're looking for someone this week, it probably has to be Ponga. And yes, sorry, that was one of the changes from the Queensland team. I didn't remember that. Yeah, Brimson has been named as the 18th man for Queensland. Now, Titans already had a bye anyway, so I don't think it doesn't really make a difference for Supercoach, apart from actually in round 19, you may miss out for the Dolphins because 18th man doesn't play for their club. So that now that you guys have mentioned that, thank you for pulling me up on that. I think that probably means Brimson maybe is a little bit less enticing as an option, whereas Ponga probably stands out there. So it's probably Ponga, or I think if you can afford to wait, maybe you just go straight to Munster because Munster generally does back up for the Storm. And if the Storm have games like this, Munster on a bad day can still score 65-70. On a good day, he can go 124 like this as well. So yeah, probably is Munster or Ponga, I think, stand out. Maybe Brimson is a bit more of a pod. Hamish, nice haircut of mine. Jake Young, the haircut shouts get me every time. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. I'm glad that you at least someone is liking the haircut. It's good. It's a good running inside joke. Thank you. Imagine Brad picks Reynolds over Moses. I mean, CGN is saying that Reynolds has retired from rep footy. Is that true? I don't think that's the case because I'm pretty sure Reynolds was quoted earlier this week saying that if he was given the opportunity, he'd welcome it or something along those lines. So it doesn't make me think that he's retired from rep footy. Just seeing if there's any other games that we can talk. We've already spoken about the Bulldogs, Eels to an extent. Broncos, Knights, we've kind of touched on already. I mean, the Rabbitohs, Dragons. Now, I was very happy. I tipped the Dragons. Can you believe it? After Cody Walker got injured. Now, look, I don't know why, but I tipped the Tigers on Thursday. I just had too much faith in them. So I lost out pretty much against everyone else in my work comp. So I thought, well, this is a bad start. And then I tipped Raiders as well. So got that wrong. Tipped the Manly, so that was fine. But I was 1 from 3, and I was like, oh, I got to try to pull out something to try to get something back. And I thought there's generally always one or two upsets around. And without Cody Walker, Latrell, I was like, Dragons at home. Let's go Dragons. I mean, they almost blew it at the end. I mean, that last 5 minutes was crazy. And as someone who played Alex Johnston, very upset that, you got 28 points, no attacking stats. And I swear there was like one or two times where I think Isaiah Tass could have passed it to him in the last kind of 10 minutes. And that try that Jacob Hoste scored, look, fair enough, there was a big gaping hole and he just ran through and scored. But he had numbers on the left and I was like, pass it. I need some AJ junk. I need to start tweeting out Alex Junkston. Didn't work out. So yeah, AJ, not great. But look, the way I see it is, look, if you told me before the game that the Rabbitohs scored 30 points, would I have played Alex Johnston? Yes. The ball just didn't get to him. But happy with Damien Cook's performance in 84 points. Campbell Graham got all the joy at the end of the game. But yeah, so I've ended my tips on 6 for 8 this week. So a bit annoying because I think that Titans game was definitely a game that I could have tipped correctly. Raiders, to be honest, I was always going to tip the Raiders. I'm sorry, Warriors fans out there. But I got everything else. So I'm 6 from 8 this week, which is okay. Yes, good. A lot of people around me got 5 out of 8. So I've got one above, and I think it was that Dragons game. So thank you, Dragons, for getting over the line just about in the end. I mean, in terms of relevance from the Dragons, to be honest, there's not a whole heap. Maybe Jacob Little, but the Dragons don't cover round 16 either. So I don't think they're probably going to be that heavily investable. And then after the bye, it's Warriors, Sharks, Raiders, and then a bye again in round 20. So I don't think Dragons are all that relevant, to be honest, to invest in from a Supercoach point of view. From the Rabbitohs, of course, they missed this week. Klomotangi, very strange that he got 55 points. I think he got dudded a try assist because he scored a try himself, but only ended up on 55 points. I thought he didn't even get like a try contribution. I think it was for, was it for Ilias's try? But yeah, didn't get anything there. 7 missed tackles, obviously a little bit not great, but a lot of those from Klomotangi could be like he maybe trying to put a shot on and just missed out or something. But I think we know who are the relevant Rabbitohs players. I've heard some word that Reece Robson is potentially a smoky to be the number 14 bench hooker for the Blues, and I assume Damon Cook is coming straight back in as well. Now the Rabbitohs already missed round 16 anyway. It just probably potentially means that come round 19, if you know Cook will be playing again, he'll miss out that week, and then he also misses round 20. So I think Cook I'll probably hold until round 19. At that point, I may look to move off. The problem is that in round 19, the guy I'd want to go to is Harry Grant, but he's also out. So it might just be a case of, look, I've got Reed Marnie. He did okay today, 47 points. Marnie plays round 19, so I'll cover Hooker in that way. But yeah, come round 20, I probably will maybe go one of Cook or Romney back to Grant if I possibly can. But happy with his performance, was pretty good. Kalamatangi, I still think is a good trader, but I did have him ranked behind Bateman and Nicara. One for the round 16 cover, but I just also thought that he's a chance for the Blues, maybe in game two or three. And he also has that extra buy in round 20. Peanut Gallery says, sorry if this was answered before. What are you doing with Corey Horsburgh? So Corey Horsburgh has been named as number 19th man for Queensland. So that means he's available to still play club. So the Raiders, I think, are already missing round 16. But round 19, he'll be available to play that week, assuming he's still 19th man. So I think if you're Horsburgh owner, I think you hold, because Elliot Whitehead's back. That meant that Horsburgh moved back into lock, and where he's been playing lock this season, he's been great. 70 points again, I think he scored on Friday. Pretty good base stats, I think, as well. I'm pretty sure he got everything in base stats. Yeah, like 45 points in tackles, plus 21 in runs. So you're looking at 66 points in base there. Like, yeah, you'll happily take that. And I think he did play good minutes again when he's at lock. So Horsburgh, I think if you own him, he's got dual status as well. To me, he feels like a very easy hold, I think, at this time. Yeah, 71 minutes at lock. So yeah, definitely would be holding on to Horsburgh if you own him. Now, I guess on this Raiders-Warriors game, I mean, SJ just... Look, he was really good, and then he got that late intercept try, and I thought, oh man, I know I love SJ, but I think we all had the SJ love, and now it's like, okay, now I don't own him, and he's starting to score lots of Supercoach points, and it's getting a little bit annoying. Johnson, could you just not get like 119? Could you just get like 75? 75 is good, even 80 is fine. 119 though, oh yeah, that late intercept try and that smile on his face was pretty funny. Someone was asking earlier in the chat as well, how did he pass his HIA? I don't know if he actually got classified as for a HIA, because it was an accidental knock from, I think it was Elliot Whitehead, and he was bleeding from his nose, but I don't remember from the coverage if he actually got if he actually went for a HIA. Maybe I missed that. But yeah, the way that the injury seemed, it seemed to be more of a nose hit than a head hit. But look, I'm not a physio, I'm not a doctor. So in terms of that guy's question about how did he recover or get back on the field, I have no idea how. But maybe that's why, because it, on vision, it looked like the impact was more to his nose. But yeah, look, if you bought SJ a couple of weeks ago, you'd be ecstatic, obviously. And if you went SJ this week instead of Moses, now... It looks like both of them will be out next week, well, this coming week, I should say, and round 16. But, like, yeah, Johnson, I think, is due for a good price rise. So he had a pretty low break-in. Yeah, the break-in was 36. I think a good friend, Jay Schubert, he has got Johnson for a... Let's have a look here. He's got him for a minus 18 break-even coming into this week with a 65K price rise. So he'll be... pretty much 700k with a negative break even. Obviously, he's not going to change the price in round 16, but the Warriors do play round 19, and I don't know. I think they've got one more buy after round 16. Yeah, they've got a buy in round 22, but that's a standalone week. Look, I think we're seeing enough from the Warriors in their form that opposition, apart from maybe, say, Penrith, they still seem to be able to score points. And obviously they got up for a very big occasion, very impressive in the second half. And even in the first half, they defended very well with Barnett in the sin bin. So yeah, look, SJ I think is looking fantastic. Nicholas Klukstad is looking great as well. I kind of regret not jumping on him a few weeks ago. And I think when I was a little bit tempted, he feels like he's getting out of reach in terms of the price. Like another 80 plus point game. He already had a minus 9 break even coming into this week. Jay Schubert has got him for a 23 break even next week and going up 80K. So he's going to be very expensive next week. So I know people may not be looking to buy him next week, given that he has the buy. But yeah, look, he's just been killing it. So not ecstatic about that as a non-Nickel Klukstad owner, but yeah, he's been very, very good. So I think you'd be very happy if you owned him. Not really much else, I think, out of this game. Not really too much on the Raiders in terms of relevant players. I mean, Matt Tumuko, 35 points. He's kind of fallen off a cliff. He had a few good weeks, and then since then, he really hasn't done much. But it's really, I mean, Josh Papali'i though did look again very good. Maybe if you want an antipod type and you go Papali'i, he's potentially an option. You know, not playing Origin as well, but given that he doesn't play round 16, probably someone will look to revisit again, I think, in round 17. So neither of these two teams play in this next coming up bye week, so I think they're probably not super relevant. How long are we going for? We're going for about 45 minutes. I think we'll keep this stream a little bit shorter, given that very good chance I'll be back tomorrow streaming as well. So we'll probably cover off more of your questions and stuff in a little bit more detail. To be honest, I don't really think there's much more in the games I feel like touching on, if I'll be honest. I think we've kind of spoken about some of the more relevant things. So I think what we'll do is let's do 10 minutes Q&A. We'll do 10 minutes of your questions, and I think we'll just wrap it up there. You'll all see me tomorrow anyway. So, and yeah, if you have any questions as well for this round 16, you know, shoot them through in the chat. We'll try to cover them off now, or we'll even just give you some talking points for this week's stream. I'm assuming we'll cover the normal stuff about, like, you know, the round 16 must-haves, you know, captaincy as well will be a bit more relevant coming into next week, given that we will probably have a good chance of being able to do a free VC loop. In terms of my round 16 numbers, just before I quickly get to your questions, Welch is out, which is annoying. So I'll have two from there. I guess Matt Dury is going to be there. So three. Four, five, six. I'm not going to count Moses anymore. I think he's out. Schuster, seven. Garrick, eight. Marzu, nine. Buller, 10. Gutho, 11. Taruva, 12. Manu, 13. So I think I've got 13. Billy Smith, if he plays, then great, 14. So I think next week I'm looking okay. If I buy, maybe if I could even just do the one trade and go for Fafita to Hines, for example, if Hines is playing, and I might leave it at that. That might give me 14 or 15, and that might just cover me for the week. And I might not need to go in it too hard, because the better teams I think to cover next week are maybe like the Sharks, and they miss round 17 as well. Maybe someone like Mulatalo is someone I might want to jump on, but I mean, I'm not going to sell Osaka or AJ, nor am I going to sell my fullbacks. So if, let's say, Billy Smith is out, he's 386k. Maybe if I have money in the bank via duels, via health, maybe I can go to a Sharks back, but I don't think I'll be able to afford Mulatalo. Maybe Christian Welch I can move off, but I'd have to go to a cheapie. I don't actually think I have duels to bring anyone up from my second row forward up to front row forward to start doing changes there either, so maybe he could be a bit of a cash cow. But I might just, early thoughts, it might just be a very easy week for me to go for Fafita to Hines if he's available. If Hines isn't available and Moses is playing, then great. Obviously, I might not even need to do anything, given that we're probably already going to be, I think, sitting on about 12 good players, and I think 13 to 14 on the lower end of the scale in terms of quality of players. Daniel saying 1381, Luke Moses. Honestly, thinking 1350 is passing, lots of 1400s and higher 1300s. I'm seeing a lot of that as well. I've just taken the average from the Podmasters, because there were some lower scores. There were a couple of scores that I saw in like the 1100s and the 1200, because a lot of people this week got hit hard with Marshall King and Katoa. Lots of people captain Nico Hines as well. So I think there's going to be a decent spread. So I think 1300 probably is about a pass score. But look, if you score 1381, Daniel, for sure, I think you've had a good week, and you'll probably get green arrows. If anyone missed at the beginning of the stream, I ended up on 1340, so pretty happy with that for this week. Any love of Farnworth as a round 17 trade and got 68 in base power? Well, you're speaking my language. As soon as anyone starts talking about base stats or base power stats, I'm like, okay, you've got me interested. So, I mean, yeah, 68 points from him, and he didn't get any attack stats, did he? Lots of offloads, lots of tackle busts. That's always very encouraging. Lots of runs too. 580k. That run for the Broncos was good. We did speak about it a bit when we were talking about Reece Walsh. He's averaging 60, so he's been doing fine. I mean, he's got some good scores in the last few weeks. Like, there's more good scores than bad, put it that way. Like, his lowest score of the season is 40. He just doesn't have that big 100 plus in him by the look of it. I mean, a lower 40 is great though for a center wing, and it seems as though more often than not he's about that kind of mid 50s to 60. So look, he looks okay for the price, and I think the draw is good. I don't know, something isn't making me feel, I mean those numbers are good. I can't argue the numbers, and he is a pod. Well, actually 10% ownership. That must be dead team, surely, because that means that would suggest he's more owned than someone like Gutherson. I would have thought Gutherson would be more higher owned. Look, not a bad option. Those numbers are really good. I just feel like potentially there are centers out there with maybe higher upside, maybe like the Mulatalos. But if you've got enough of those and you want your solid option, then yeah, based on those numbers, I think Farnworth could actually be good. Low score of 40 is pretty decent. Valence Tavare ideas. I mean, we didn't really speak about many of the Dolphins players, to be fair. He played a lock, which was, very, very strange. Bennett just up to doing his own things, but who am I to question Wayne Bennett? I mean, 40 points is fine. I think he pretty much played, he didn't play the full 80, I imagine, at lock. That would have been crazy. Let me quickly check the minutes on that one. To be fair, I didn't really notice him that much in the game because Manly were just playing so attackingly well. He played 80 minutes. 80 minutes at lock. Did he play the whole game through the middle? Let me know in the chat if you know about that, because I mean, that's encouraging, but obviously he's still relatively young and new, so like whether he plays those kind of big minutes week in, week out is maybe harder to say. I mean, if you've got him, like, look, the Dolphins will cover round 19 as well, and he's a cheapie, I guess, at the end of the day, so like I'm sure you could just continue to hold him. Don't think he's a must sell. Fine with 3.5% owned in the top 5%. That makes a bit more sense. Oh, that's right, of course. Branko Lee got injured early in the game, so Tavare moved to the center, of course. Yep, that's right. Thank you for jogging my memory. Yep, that's right. I remember now. I've got a very clear memory in my head of Branko Lee going up the tunnel. I just forgot about it. Tavare, to be honest, I don't see what you can really do with him at his price. He's pretty cheap. Like, he's just 262K. He's not going to lose money this week. He doesn't play this week either. I mean, sure, if you've got the funds to upgrade to like a Mulatalo, one of those guns, then fine. But you're having to talk about 400K there. So I feel like there's no real other downgrades, I think, either that I'd be targeting with him. Farnworth, very low owned. Yeah, that makes more sense in terms of his ownership. Yeah, could be a nice little pod. I'd probably have him over Stags, if I'm being honest. I think he seems to be much more consistent than Stags. Is Welch a sell from Dale? Yeah, look, I think it's team dependent. If you don't have to sell him, then fine, but he'll miss round 16, he'll miss round 19. He's kind of been a bit mid in the last kind of 8 weeks or so. So look, if you can get to upgrade him to say like a gun, like a, I don't know, Payne Haas or something down the line, then yeah, sure. I think eventually he will be a sell, but I don't know. For me at the moment, he's kind of just sitting there as like a third front row forward. Maybe there's some handy depth, because I'm happy with, at the moment, Tohu and Tarpany as my two starters. Paul Branko is made out of wet tissue. Yeah, I think it was NRL Physio who said that he pretty much, not guaranteed, but like the chance of him playing, like, you know, getting in some kind of, because he's had so many like leg issues, like calves and hamstrings and whatnot, I think, he's like, the chances of him getting some kind of strain in, like every 8 to 10 weeks is like fairly high. Or he's like, he basically, I think he mentioned it like kind of off the cuff in one of his pods, that he was like, yeah, look, there's a chance that every two months or something, Branko does something. And yeah, history repeats. Is having Schuster and Katoa in the 5-8 an issue? I would say so. Obviously not for this week, it's fine because a lot of those gun 5-8s are out. But I think, yeah, long term, you're going to want to fix that up. The 5-8 position is interesting now with Dylan Brown being out of the picture indefinitely, because I think, you know, Munster and Cody probably seem the two best premiums, but Ponga is a good shout. Brimson looks to be a good shout as well from round 17 too. So there's a couple of pods that you can look to go a little bit differently there as well. Is Scott Sorensen worth getting in at his high price? I mean, Sorensen was the flavor of the week about a few weeks ago when he scored that 175. Would I pay 700 and... It's not loading up on screen, but I know his price. 777K for Sorensen. He'll go down a little bit in price, but... I don't think I could pay that much for Scott Sorensen. He's averaging 67, which is fine, but the reason his price is so high is because he had that massive game. And look, to be fair, he's backed it up with a couple of decent games as well. Like, he's got a 68 and a 48 since then. So his scores are fine, but 780K just feels way too expensive for him, in my opinion. If it was like 600K, maybe. 780K just feels way too expensive, in my opinion. All right, we'll take one more question, and then I think we'll wrap it up. But don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow as well. I'll take this from Raging Bull. I have Jeremy Marshall King and Grant, but other options are not much better. What would your perfect hooker strategy be over the next few weeks? To be honest, Raging Bull, we'll see what happens with Marshall King and his injuries, because he re-aggravated the shoulder issue. And if it's something that's going to keep hampering his performance, that may be a big drop-off in his Supercoach points. But up until this point in the season, those have been the two best hookers to have. So I think if Marshall King is okay performance-wise and you've got Grant, if I were you, the other options and replacements are not doing that well that I think you need to move off. I think you could just hold those and run with those two for the rest of the season. I don't think you need to be wasting too many trades in that number nine spot. And I think you've got the two best, pending any, you know, major doubts with Marshall King and his potential performance moving forward. We'll take a couple more questions. A few more have come in. We'll go. Yeah, we'll do a couple more. Mitch Kenny with a cheeky 70. Yep, I think he got a try assist for, was it Liam Martin or someone? I can't even remember. But he definitely got a try assist of some kind. So that definitely did boost his attacking numbers. But I think his minutes were pretty good. I think he played about, 67 minutes. But I don't know, he tends to have these games every now and then. But apart from that, not much. Lemuelu Asell. It's a tough one with Lemuelu. I mean, he didn't do that great. I mean, look, the team got pretty badly beat. I think he also didn't play the full 80 because I think he may have picked up an injury. I don't know if I'm getting confused with last week or the week before, but I have a feeling he didn't play the full 80. No, he played the full 80. Ignore me. Did play the full 80. Only 42 points I think he ended up on. I mean, he did have that one big score in round 9, but outside of that, yeah, we're looking at mainly 60s. I mean, we're looking mainly between the 45 to 60 range. So I think what he's delivering isn't fantastic. He does have dual status, which is handy. But look, again, I think the question is round 16, if you don't, like, do you think he's going to be in the top 6 second row forwards for the run home? I'd probably say no, because I'd probably say, to be honest, Preston, I think, is better than him. I think Bateman and Nicaragua will be better. I think Fifita will be better. That's already 4 second row forwards. You could throw in someone like maybe an Eli Katoa, potentially, with the chance of attacking stats. Someone like Teague Wilton, to be honest, is doing about the same. Teague Wilton scored 58 points. Top of my head, I can't really think of too many other second row forwards, but I don't view him as a keeper second row forward. So I think if he's your ticket to like a Nikora or a Bateman, for example, look, it's probably a move that I would do, I think. So I don't think he needs to be a long-term hold. And similar thoughts as well about Jackson Ford. We didn't talk about him before, but Ford scored pretty poorly again this week. I think he ended up on like 34 points. I'm pretty sure he still played the full 80 though. So the minutes still seem to be there. He played 77, so more or less 80. But yeah, the Warriors are scoring points, so the attacking stats could be there. But I think at the moment he doesn't seem to be a must own. I think either in your second row forward. And Bailey, you said that he's at your center wing. Yeah, again, center wing. At center wing maybe you could hide him away in depth cover, because at least, you know, if you had to plug him in for a week, he can get you about 45 to 50. But yeah, I think there would definitely be 6 other center wingers I'd probably prefer over him. Nikorima has been very good at the hooker spot as well in the last few weeks. He did get a very, very late try assist though, so that did boost up his scores this week. But yeah, look, even before that, he was sitting on about 60 something, so you'd be pretty happy with Nikorima. And yeah, look, Nick Z, is he a hold? Yeah, given that we talked about the weakness of the position, I'd probably say indefinitely, yeah, he is a hold. Dale, your question about you have Burton, Hines, and Moses will all be out with Origin. Look, we'll have to see what happens tomorrow, but I think there's a fair chance that Burton and Moses will be there for New South Wales. Hines maybe not, but I can't really answer that until tomorrow, I think. All right, guys, I think we'll wrap it up there. I know there's a couple more questions that come in, but we'll hopefully touch on more this week. Hope you all enjoy the stream. Do please give it a like as well if you did. And yeah, we'll probably be back tomorrow with the normal round 16 trade targets and preview stream. So hope to see you all there tomorrow. I'll put the audio for this out on Spotify as well. And I did mention my newsletter. I'll very quickly put a link to my homepage in the chat if you want to check it out. I'll probably be posting something there, I think, on Wednesday again. Wednesday or Thursday this week, just depending time. But you have a read of the last week's post if you're interested in it. It's completely free. No need to pay for it at all. And you can subscribe to it via your email and stuff as well if you want to get it every week. But anyway, shameless plug for that. All right, we'll wrap up the stream up there. Have a good rest of your public holiday, and see you all probably tomorrow. Laters.